Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Talivi, and tackling your questions on the line this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send questions to us, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening to you both. Wayne, if I may start with you tonight, it wasn't a great finish for the JSE today.
Yeah.
I was talking to David before we went on air about crazy energy markets. They're just all over the place. And I mean, I think the whole thing is bonkers. And then I picked up a quote from someone quoted by the FGC who said markets are just climbing a wall of worry and they're worrying about everything. They're worrying about energy prices.
Yes.
They're worrying about inflation. And it's just
yes.
horrible out there. Does it feel horrible Correct. About there? Or and what does it mean for the rest of us?
Look, we've had, I think, the strongest 12-year bull market in recorded history. So that doesn't continue. All of the drivers for the bull market were absolutely extraordinary. They were highly, highly unusual. One word, zero interest rates. Now, these are all reversing. Now, I'm not saying they're turning negative. I'm just saying they are going to be quite a bit less positive going forward, and the valuations are high. So this is not a recipe for the bull market. Now, I think the downside's limited. Whatever downside it is, I don't think it's a global financial crisis or a dot-com downside, simply because higher interest rates, which are inevitable, they are going up both here and globally, the next move is up, will not burst a consumer debt bubble or a corporate debt bubble, because there isn't one.
Yes.
And
yeah.
that, I think, is the saving grace. But I would think that the return on equity for the next decade will be a fraction of what it was for the last decade.
Yeah.
And right now there is a wall of worry. And maybe the markets will fall. I mean, our market now is where it was beginning of February. It's given back quite a bit. And I think we're going to continue to see some weakness. Mm.
In fact, I've also printed out an FT piece. It's a fellow called Richard Bernstein who said, and he's written an opinion piece saying, valuation, not stories, ultimately determine investment returns, which I think is what you've always told
yes.
us over the years. But you do, at points in a market cycle, tend to get sort of lost or whipped up into the hype of, I suppose, a never-ending growth story, you know, like big tech last year, for example.
Well, the biggest danger in markets is you get whipped up into the hype both on the upside and on the downside.
David, so should we, if we are trying to find an equilibrium within ourselves, in other words, don't sell everything if prices are pulling back, but don't necessarily be buying everything either. Just do nothing.
I used that with somebody yesterday because I was attacked on the fangs, you know, and all the technology stocks. So I said, is this Amazon? Is it over? You know, are they not going to increase profits ever again? So profits are only going to go down from now on. In other words, they're not going to increase their profitability. It's going to go lower. Is this going to happen? Is that what you're trying to say to me? And, you know, the obvious answer is no. So I think as long as companies, and I'm taking what Wayne is saying, and it's very sage advice. Earnings will go up. They will continue to rise, but you won't see the same pace of increase in shares. In other words, you're going to get multiples or PE ratios coming down. I can live with that. You know what I mean? I can live with a more modest but safer increase in share prices. But don't think that Amazon and Apple and all these companies are going to just suddenly give up all their earnings. They're still going to grow. And as long as you've got earnings growth, you will eventually get share price growth.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get to questions. I was looking at the resources index, actually, because I was also looking at Exxaro and Thungela Resources, which are ironically the two best performing resources stocks, I think, year to date. But the question is, could the panel please give their view on the following? With the resources, specifically Anglo's and Impala, being extremely oversold, what would be the pointers to look for if wanting to buy these two shares? Wayne? Where would you know the... the buy signal was being issued.
You only know the buy or the sell signal after it's happened. There's so hard to pick the bottom, but these, on a longer term viewpoint, the platinum shares are looking properly cheap. I mean, these shares have halved. So they are looking cheap. In fact, I mean, it was my stock picker a week or two ago, whenever it was Impala. These things are properly cheap.
I mean, if we talk about if valuations are going to determine your investment returns, well, then, yeah, you shouldn't have bought them when they were double where they are now. Now, presumably, is a decent valuation. David, is it good
and
enough?
You know, structurally, the long-term outlook for platinum and PGM is very good.
I think the market's discounted it already. It knows that the price of platinum is $960, $980. It knows that the price of iron ore is down at 100. So you're not going to surprise the company. You know, an analyst is not going to wake up and say, oh, you know, iron ore was 200 2 weeks ago. It's now 100. Oh, I better do something. It's been done already, and the markets are very quick to discount. So it comes back to my same point, is that, you know, the companies will continue to produce platinum. They'll continue to sell. I think their profits might not be where they were last year, but they're not going to fall dramatically, and so the mines will continue. And, you know, the shares have already discounted where we are. I don't think the country might have. The country might have not discounted the fact that they're going to get lower revenues, but I think the share prices have.
Okay. All right. So both an Anglo American, I think the question wasn't on Amplats, it was an Anglo American. Do you think that's kind of at a level where you might
I wouldn't buy Anglos now. The big mining houses haven't fallen that much yet.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy Anglos now.
Okay. Then there's a question on Sasol. So sticking with the resources stocks, I've held Sasol for a while now. It finally has some wind in its sails, but it just doesn't seem to want to breach 300 Rand. Can your guests please share their views on this?
Are you kidding us? This has come from 26 Rand a year ago, or I don't know where. It's come from the depths of despair to 300, and you're complaining.
Well, or maybe if you bought it when it was closer to 600 Rand a share, you would still be complaining. And let's not forget that wasn't too long ago.
It's just run a marathon. Just give it a time to catch its breath before it runs the next.
But actually, my question is Sasol not a fundamentally different proposition now, given that it's sold half of Lake Charles, given that you know, it's had to sell off assets in order to address the huge amounts, the stupendous amounts of debt it took on. Therefore, it is a smaller company. And therefore, 300 Rand is maybe a reasonable level or a very good level for Sasol. It's not going to get back to 500 or 600 Rand. Dave, Wayne.
I think the oil price is going to come under some pressure towards the end of this year, between now and the end of the year. It is flying in the face of all other commodities in a slowing global growth environment. It's defying gravity, I think, is going to come under pressure. And unfortunately, and that's under that scenario, I think Sasol will come under pressure as well.
Mm. You know, Julieta, I think we've come out of, we're getting these distortions in the market. And I think a lot of it is that as we start to come out of lockdown, people are going mad and spending. And eventually that demand, in fact, has caused the problems on the supply side. Yes, there have been bottlenecks in getting goods to factories and so on. But I think a lot of it has also been created by this massive demand, this excess demand, which it will also settle down. So I think things will come. You will start to get this equilibrium. So and prices will come down. I don't say, you know, the big argument is about inflation. Is it embedded? Is it transitory? I don't know. We're hearing all kinds of things. I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, some prices will stick, others will come down. Certainly used cars will come down as auto production picks up again and so on. So, you know, hopefully we will see it settle down. But in the meantime, it's all these things are on that wall of worry that you were talking about. So we've got plenty that we can talk about if you want to keep going.
if you want us to scare you.
So, you know, we'll go on to earnings growth or lack of earnings growth.
I mean, you know, already...
Inflation, you name it, you know.
Look, I wake up at 3 a.m. and then start cogitating over things that I can't solve. So please, don't add to the problems. There's a question on offshore allowances, and I suppose it's quite interesting, maybe given that the Rand is now at 15 to the dollar or thereabouts. And a question about taking money offshore. Is it possible to take as much offshore and repatriate as needed to the extent of investing locally with one's offshore allowance? Is this allowed and or possible without falling foul of the Saab? I presume you can take your money offshore and bring it back whenever you want, right?
You can, but then if you want to take it out again, you've got to apply again. You can't, you know, that's the only problem. So once you've sent it out, you know, they say, yes, you can send out, say, 10 million or 5 million or 3 million. So you send out 3 million and say, okay, I've done it. Now you bring back 2 million and you say, I want to send back the 2 million. You say, no, you've got to apply again. But in, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and falling foul of the SARB is just, I suppose, an administrative nightmare, which you don't really want to give yourself.
They're quite good. I must, you know, they're very, very good at issuing permission. Yeah.
But Wayne, maybe on the just maybe the thinking behind the question: if you take your offshore allowance and you take it offshore and you've invested offshore, does it make much sense to be then repatriating bits of it, or only maybe as you need it, you know, for living expenses, I suppose?
Well, look, I don't think you must use it as a piggy bank. You mustn't send money over on the first of the month and then pull back 5,000 on the second of the month. But, yeah, I don't, you know, over time, the rand is a depreciating currency. And I think it will weaken a little bit more towards the end of this year. Maybe 15.50, maybe 16 maximum. But I also don't see a major collapse in the rand because I don't see a major collapse in commodity prices. I think the big fall in commodity prices, we're probably 60, 80% through the fall already, except for oil and energy products.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. You know, you must take the rand is a structurally weak currency, and over long time periods, it weakens by inflation plus 3 or plus 4%.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then moving on, there's a question on Bidcorp, which I noticed had a very good day on the stock market today. I think it was up, 3-odd% or thereabouts. And the question is, having ably weathered the storm of volatility unleashed on its business models under COVID, Bidcorp has proven that its operating forecasts were not well-intentioned legerdemain, but completely in line with the resilience that the company has built into all its lines. With a dividend to come, the future looks good for the medium-term investor, in brackets, if and only if Wayne and David agree. So can you confirm our viewers bias towards Bidcorp?
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, come on, add something in there just to keep it going.
There's clearly upside from here. I mean, this weekend we'll probably come off the UK red list. Tourism will pick up. That is the one industry that hasn't really picked up yet. And services is what Bidvest is.
I just hear reports about airports globally, and that includes South Africa, whether it's OR Tambo or Cape Town, and that they're absolutely packed at the moment. You can't get planes out of South Africa over December. You want to go to Mauritius, forget about it. You know, you just can't go. So
I'm going to Mauritius.
Yeah, you got in. Well done.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, people are going to be let loose and spend. I just see a very big, you know, season. I know we might not get the overseas visitors, but I think a lot is going to happen. Hmm. You won't get into the reserves. You won't get into anywhere. So all of that, if you take that globally, I think you're going to get some very good numbers coming out of the hospitality sector. And the ADP numbers today that came out of the U.S., big increase in employment. And it's all around hospitality and leisure. So people getting back into those jobs, and you know they wouldn't go there if there was no spend.
And I suppose even though I mean and we discussed it a couple of months ago, Bidvest had actually outperformed Bidcorp over and not just in fact over a longer term period. Interestingly enough, if the rand is a structurally weak currency, it is just that is going to help Bidcorp's earnings as a hedge against a depreciating rand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Bidcorp is clearly, other than the mining companies, clearly the example of a successful transition out of South Africa.
And then there's a question on Mondi, which we haven't discussed for a while. It says, looking at a very muted Mondi share price over the year, I guess that's why. What can we expect in the future given the inevitable need for more packaging as online shopping ought to take more traction as our economy further opens? Is this enough of a tailwind to propel the share price?
Yes. I'm structurally positive on Mondi. This move to online just suits them. Speciality packing, general packaging. This is a company well placed. So I think it's a very good company to hold longer term.
I mean, is the market just not giving it the benefit of the doubt here, or are there other factors involved? I mean, there are, you know, the prices of craft paper. It's a big international market that, you know, determines.
What do you expect out of it? I think everybody wants the companies to go up 10% a day. It's doing fine. You know what I mean? It's reflecting what it is, a packaging company. And I think it's producing very good profits. It's not trading at excessive metrics. You know, it's a good business. So just buy it. You know, if you like it, the business model's good. It's got a solid balance sheet, good management. Just buy it. Mm-hmm. Be patient and listen to what Wayne said. You're not going to get those kind of returns. You know, everybody gets all pumped up if their portfolios are not up 15, 20, 25%. No, that's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, stop being so greedy, y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all.
I mean, what, you know, isn't the long term, isn't a great long term return, and we're talking over, say, 30 to 50 years, inflation plus 3%. I mean, if you average it over time, you will make money. Yeah. So,
of course. Yes.
I mean,
that's all. So if inflation is 2%, you're making 5%. That's great.
You know, I think the history is inflation plus 5. But you must remember in the last decade in America, we've given no inflation just about. Now it's inflation plus 15.
Hmm. Okay, well, an anomaly. Mad. All right, so very quickly, getting to your stock pick. Sorry, I left you about a minute between the two of you. Wayne, what would you be buying?
Well, look, I thought of shorting the S&P 500 and buying Facebook because the valuation difference between... shorting the S&P Facebook. And buying Facebook because the valuation difference between Facebook and the S&P is of the narrowest ever. But I decided against that and went South African government bond, 9.5%, 10% yield, inflation at 4% structural. It's a very good investment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And David,
I'm going to quote you to one of my clients tomorrow. Okay. I'm quoting Mr. Wayne. But I'm buying Facebook. I thought, now, how can Wayne take mine? Because it was exact because of that. When they went down, they hate Zuckerberg. Everybody can't stand him and calls him whatever it is. And yet when Facebook went down the other night and Instagram and WhatsApp, the whole world went into a tiz because they couldn't use his product. And I think, likewise, I think it's been sold down. And when everybody hates him, that's the time to buy. So I'm with Wayne there. Although I'm not shorting the S&P, but I'm buying Facebook.
Okay. I just don't think I can bring myself to back that evil robotic man. But there you go.
Don't ever send me a WhatsApp again. Okay.
Fair enough. Don't spend hours scrolling through your Instagram feed. David, Wayne, we shall leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. David Shapiro is from Sasum Securities. Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. We'll be back tomorrow to take more of your questions. Have a good evening.